Hi, and welcome back to the Iron Moms USA podcast. I'm Ina Koppel.
And I'm Raina Butler.
And today we have an episode of
Straight Talk with Ina.
And usually we choose topics that you guys submit that you'd like to hear us discuss, and you know, you ask us advice on things, and we're happy to use them as our straight talk topics. But today we decided to address some of the slack that we've been getting on Instagram and our DMs. I guess people must be frustrated or something, because there's a lot of focus about what you look like, Raina. I didn't even think that was a thing.
Me either. Someone stopped me this weekend when I was taking my kids on their weekly Saturday scoot through the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Note to self, find a new route.
Yeah,
that's
well,
that's the first thing I'm going to do.
Move out of town.
Find a new route to scoot. Okay. So the discussion was, as I'm scooting with another mom, is why lifting?
Well, first, let's give people an idea of the kind of things we're getting in our DMs. So, you know, and most of the time it's from women, but people are very fascinated that we've, as they see it, abandoned fitness, allowed ourselves to gain weight, don't care, talking about how it's okay to gain weight if you need to, and about barbell training. And they are just wondering, what happened to all the fitness? And Raina, how come you are so comfortable in your new size? Now, those of you who don't know what Raina looks like, we're talking about her going from like a very, you know, overly lean, underweight fitness chick type of look to somebody who lifts and is healthy and weighs how much?
I weigh like 137 pounds.
Yeah, that's so there, right? Everybody's like rolling their eyes, because that's, you know, depending, of course, on your height. And how tall are you?
Like 5'4". I'm right. Average.
Are you? I really thought you were taller.
No, that's ill.
Oh, that's cute. Maybe it's the high heels.
Yeah, probably it's the Louis Vuittons.
So, you know, we thought we would talk about this. And, you know, Raina keeps bringing it up to me. Here's all the comments I keep getting. And I said, let's have the discussion, because I don't think this is about hating on barbell training. I think there's a bigger thing happening for women. Now, we did, we used to post a lot about fitness when we owned a fitness business, when we owned a business for kids. And of course, we had a barbell club for girls, just like we had a barbell club for women, an affiliate gym from Starting Strength. But we also had a fitness side. And that's really how I originated in this business, is as a fitness instructor. And we would post about our classes and always encourage people to put strength first so that they could, you know, benefit from their conditioning workouts in a safe way. But you were way leaner than you are now, and you've put on a healthy amount of weight, and you've gotten stronger, and you stopped beating yourself up. And people are misinterpreting that for some sort of like you gave up or you gave in or you don't care. And I thought we would discuss that today.
Yeah, I think people think when you give up fitness and you start to barbell train, like you're joining a cult.
Which is funny, because people who came to our classes and people who are engaging in the fitness classes were doing a previous type of fitness. Either they were a runner and wanted to add in the dumbbell workouts or the kickboxing class or the rowing workouts or the TRX. People came from spinning and would transition to adding other types of workouts. So why isn't it okay to transition to barbell training? I think it's got more to do with the fact that we're preaching that, you know, healthy should have a different appearance.
Yeah, I think like it's the year, like, you know, 2021, we need to leave a lot of stereotypes behind.
Yeah, well, that's always the case. But if 2020 didn't teach you anything about, you know, putting health first and not giving a crap about what people think, well, then you're never going to learn the lesson in the coming years. But we're getting a lot of comments about how you look, which is like, I wish I looked like you, but I don't understand what they're disturbed about. So what are they saying to you?
So they're disturbed that I've given up something that they think I love so much. Like, mm-hmm. Why would I give up something I loved mm-hmm. for something else? Mm-hmm. They're also disturbed with the fact that I don't care.
Right.
They're disturbed by my lack of caring, I think, about their opinion even.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because think about it. When you're a fitness instructor, you're standing in front of 40 women mm-hmm. for 6 hours a day, or mm-hmm. kids. Mm-hmm. You are standing in front of a mirror.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
6 hours. Mm-hmm. 6 days a week. It's mm-hmm. a lot of time to look at yourself.
Yeah. And the only feedback that you get from that mirror is your own perception of how you translate what you're seeing.
Right.
It's not at all how other people see you. And on that topic, let them know about how much I used to harass you and why.
Oh yeah. Okay. So like every single morning it would start. The second I walked into the gym and got my mic check and got everything ready, the harassment would start.
That's right.
You look too skinny. This is not okay. You are not healthy.
Your
this
voice.
Is not wellness. Mm-hmm. Your voice. Something's wrong. Are mm-hmm. you eating enough? Now, I felt like I was eating enough. Mm-hmm. I don't suffer from a eating disorder. Mm-hmm. I thought I ate plenty. It just wasn't enough to keep up with my activity level.
Mm-hmm. How many classes a day did you teach?
It would be 2 in the morning and 2 at night, plus my own training. Barbell training.
Plus gym class for kids in the middle of the
some
day.
Some days, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes it was 3 classes in the morning. Sometimes you had to come back at night and cover a class after teaching multiple kids classes.
Right. It could have been up to 6 classes a
sometimes
day.
Sometimes you would run in the afternoon to teach gym class at a school.
Right. So we're talking like 8 hours of
sometimes
work.
Sometimes you would have to work on a Saturday night. Sometimes you'd run 3 classes and a birthday party on Sunday. So even as Raina's describing her own schedule,
right, I'm forgetting.
She does not remember the fact that, you know, she was really working a lot and she loved the thing that Raina and I have in common is that we love music. We love moving to music. We love using physical expression. We love throwing a good party. We love putting on events. And all that culminated into a very successful fitness business for us because people saw how much we loved the performance aspect and creating that good vibe in the room for people and choosing good music. And all the things we loved was matched with fitness. However, work is work. And the things you love eventually become work. And they start to wear on you and you specifically developed an adaptation to that level of cardiovascular strain and fitness and use of your body. And I worried about you every day because I knew that you no longer, you'd adapted to it to a point where you adapted to feeling shitty. Your voice was always wrecked. You had a cough that was from, you know, not being able to shake off all the viruses that were coming your way from these kids or allergies or just overuse on your vocal cords. And you would physically just, you know, I'd try to sneak in a power bar into you, but you would go for hours.
Right. Your favorite thing was like, oh, look, I got an extra croissant. Eat this.
That's right.
Eat this.
I used to shove croissants in you.
Like I didn't have food.
Yeah. And you really didn't feel it. Raina was phenomenal at her job. She loved her job. And she was kind of numb to what was happening in her body. And you would always tell me like, maybe I have to do something about these dark circles. It's hereditary.
Yeah. I thought I was gonna, not only that, my face was like super saggy mm-hmm. and I was starting to get fine lines and I'm very young for that.
Mm-hmm. How old are you?
33. Mm-hmm. So let's say I was 30, 31. That's not normal.
Oh, you were doing this since your 20s. So.
Right. Like I had horrible wrinkles. I'm like, okay, so I'm just going to find myself a really good dermatologist. I'll start doing Botox. Mm-hmm. I'll start getting injections in my face and I'll get my eyes done, mm-hmm. which is crazy.
And also your level of anxiety. Now that we're talking, I realize now your level of anxiety has changed. It's so much lower now. Your stress levels are so much lower.
I was super high strung.
You were super high strung and you're not a quitter. And you're a fighter. And so you did your job to the max. And we had difficult customers who expected really, you know, expected a lot of out of customer service, more than was just assigned to fitness and a fitness membership. And you went above and beyond to please everyone and to be the best for everyone. And I would watch it take a toll on you. And I would watch you perform in the room and think she doesn't see herself. She doesn't understand why I'm slowing her down. And now everything is different. And you can only realize where you were by looking back, you know, hindsight.
Right. Yeah. Hindsight is 2020. Yeah. Right.
And so what has changed for you? Because you look beautiful. You don't have dark circles anymore. Your face isn't falling.
Right. I don't need plastic surgery anymore at 33. I would hope not.
Mm-hmm. No pain, no exhaustion. You look like a different person.
I feel like a different person.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's like I don't ever remember caring necessarily what other people thought, mm-hmm. but that's part of the business you're in. You have to look good. Mm-hmm. You have to be like, if you're the leader of the class, you have to look a certain way.
So there's the difference in what you said. You have to look good versus you have to look a certain way.
Yeah.
Based on their expectations of what yep. a fitness chick should look like.
Right.
And also what a female should look like in modern times.
Right. Like, why are we, and this is a question I'll ask myself, why is it that beauty is of like a small woman mm-hmm. who is just, oh, it's horrible looking, like your bones are jutting out of your chest. And like my collarbone used to stick out mm-hmm. so far away from my body. That is nauseating.
I have a theory about why women need to perceive themselves as smaller. And of course, there's a whole element about the way culture and fashion has changed over time and industries change and perception of women change along with the magazines and the social media. And, you know, we're a wealthy society. Fashion is popular. But you know what I think a big factor is that I've noticed? The men are smaller and weaker. And so women are sort of uncomfortable with their size. And I coach a lot of women and I also coach a lot of men. I encourage most men to get to 200 pounds or above, depending on their height. Now, some people might be like, oh, my husband's 200 something. He's a slob. Yeah, no, ladies, I'm not talking about a Homer Simpson body. Okay. I'm talking about an Adonis. And I think men should lift. And a strong man is not intimidated by the size of his woman. In fact, he needs an athletic woman to keep up with him. And I think that if more men get strong and if more men fill their full potential, their women might perceive strength and attractiveness differently. But that's a side point. I think what was happening with you is that, you know, a mix of the expectations of the membership, what fitness looks like on social media, all of these things affected, and of course the community, all of these things affected the way you perceived yourself. And because you looked at yourself in a mirror, which should be removed from fitness facilities, because you looked at yourself in a mirror so many hours a day, you got to sort of evaluate, you sort of check on yourself. Like, if I don't look in a mirror all day, I don't know, I have like a hair out of place, right, or I have like schmutz on my shirt. You know what I mean? I know I definitely have dog hair on my shirt, but not schmutz.
That's okay. Dog hair is okay.
So when you're in that position, you're always, you know, kind of evaluating yourself against the standard and against what people's expectations are. And they would always compliment you and Raina, you look so thin. And Raina, it's like, oh God, she's killing herself. And I'm the owner of this business and I don't want this to happen anymore.
Not only that, I didn't want it to happen. I don't believe in that. Mm-hmm. It's so against my belief. I'm not like a looks person like that. Mm-hmm. I believe it's about performance.
Yeah.
And I never put that on my daughter in our house. There's no diet talk. Mm-hmm. There's nothing. It's exciting when you gain weight in my house.
Yeah, I know. You get stronger.
Yeah. My kids are like, I've gained a pound. They're excited. Who's drinking milk to get big?
Yeah.
So I don't live that life at home.
And now that we're talking about it, I realize you also aren't eating more. You see, people think you're eating more.
No.
You were not eating enough before to accommodate the activity level.
Right.
You could not recover. But now you're not running marathons every day.
Right.
And so you don't need to consume that amount of calories. You wouldn't have enough time in your day to consume that. I put you on milk and it didn't help.
No, nothing helped.
Your husband would bring donuts and milkshakes and
it
didn't
like
help.
I would eat steaks at night with mm-hmm. like potatoes. I eat plenty of pizza.
Waffles,
it just wasn't
Nutella,
enough. Right. Waffles,
candy,
Nutella, all the good
ice
stuff.
Ice cream.
Everyone's really jealous now.
And then, so all you did really is reduce that abuse and we kicked up our training. You see the difference with strength training, ladies, and I think the bigger question that people who were our fitness fans are asking is like, how dare you abandon the lie agreed upon that this is the answer and that this is what we have to do every day. I don't want you to change because I'm too scared to try this thing, or I don't want to try this thing, or I'm afraid of how it might make me look. And now that you've stepped off that stage and you're not using fitness to stay in shape and you're lifting, in their minds, and I might be presumptuous with this, but from my understanding, it's, what the hell happened to you? Now, they let go of me years ago when I transitioned from kickboxing to lifting.
So
but
true.
It was drama.
That was drama. Listen, I remember when you decided, I even remember how old I was. I even know what month it was because it was mm-hmm. so much drama. You had left, you decided in January that full time you need to focus on building this barbell club. Mm-hmm. You said, this is your truth. Mm-hmm. I know that this is the best thing, not just for me, for my family and for my members and my for community. Mm-hmm. And I'm going there and I'm leaving you with the fitness side and you're going to do a great job.
That's right.
See you at 10:30. Yeah. Let me know how it went.
Yeah. And it disrupted my whole business. But what it did do for you girls, if you had to be honest, is that it got you in the shape you wanted to be in, but it also was the thing that you couldn't fully take advantage of because of your job. You couldn't recover enough to train hard. But even within those limitations, it kept you safe. It kept you from getting hurt. It resolved any knee pain, back pain, neck pain, shoulder pain, strains from teaching boxing, kickboxing, push-ups, burpees, all that kind of crap. It gave you body awareness. It taught you how to move in class, how to teach members to move in class safely. It was the foundation that made us different from everyone else and offered quality, safe, and productive fitness. However, it was always in direct competition with the fitness.
Oh yeah. It was always like people would be like, I'm a barbell person. I'm a mm-hmm. fitness person. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? Why can't you be both? Mm-hmm. There are so many people who are both, like even within Starting Strength, I feel like everyone lifts. It's their main thing, but also everyone has like kind of like a fun hobby on the side
Jiu-Jitsu,
that they do also.
Yoga.
Dance.
Martial arts, dance. So on that subject, you are not giving up cardio per se.
No.
You don't use cardio to stay in shape. You're waiting for things to open up so that you could go to your favorite dance classes.
Oh yeah. The second like we can take off masks, I'm going to probably be in the city 2 days a week. I'm taking your daughter and my daughter, your daughter-in-law mm-hmm. with me. We're going dancing.
Yeah. Raina loves things that are related to dance and movement. And so do I, but we're no longer under the impression that that's what's going to keep us healthy long-term or give us the physique that we want.
No, it's just for fun. And it's just for a good time and for a laugh and that's like right. bonding with your kids. For me, that's what it is.
And bonding and socialization and fun and music and dancing and just having a great time and getting good sweat on was always a good thing, but it became obsessive and it started to hurt you. And it started to hurt members who were never happy with their bodies, no matter how much they did it. And then they became adapted to a high level of stress, low calorie, and which meant their bodies were breaking down. And that's why you had the dark circles, you had the cough, you were unhappy with your appearance. It's because your body was breaking itself down to sustain the level of activity that you were pushing towards. And barbell training demands that you recover, demands that you sleep and eat well, and it gives you the tone, quote unquote, that you're looking for without hurting you. And in fact, it's a way better looking tone, bodybuilding like.
Yeah. And I always say this, like, I don't think I look, and I don't want to put down CrossFit for the people who do mm-hmm. it, because CrossFit is really fun. And there's a lot of elements of CrossFit that I think are amazing. But those women look overly muscular. It's too much. I've mm-hmm. never seen like the Starting Strength girls that I follow. Mm-hmm. On social media, they look feminine.
It's a matter of what you're training for. If you're training for competition, then you'll have a more, you know, a bigger amount of muscle mass. If you're training for competition all the time, which is what CrossFit is doing, and you're exercising multiple times a week, you're going to get that pump look. But we train for health, which means that we do total body movements 3 times a week in the beginning, and the rest of the time we rest and recover, which means I have a lot of time to do things I love, like walking with friends, walking with my dogs, going to a dance class, doing the things I want. Now, if I put on belly fat, and I tend to, it's because I'm having a blast eating like a college student, and I don't care, because the most I'll gain is about 5 to 8 pounds. But when the rest of your body looks great, you have a different relationship to body fat, because you know you could take care of it in a minute, because you've got all this boosted metabolism. So, and also mentally for us, everything has changed. I mean, for me, this has been freedom, because I can embrace the truth of what I know is best. And at 50, I look and feel better than I have in any years. Now, I could drop some body fat. I just don't give a shit. But when I do, I look better than I did in my 30s. And for you, you know, to be attacked by these people on social media, which is standard, basic, I think that it's more of a reflection on them. It's a projection onto you of their fears. You know, they want to try this thing out, but they're afraid it's going to make them bulky.
It's such a bad word. I want it to go away. It's almost becoming like so cheesy at this point.
It's boring, ladies.
It's like Fetch from Mean Girls. It's never going to happen.
That's right.
It's like, yeah. Let's come on.
Yeah.
Bulky. I don't even know what that word really means to people anymore.
Yeah. You know, I think that because they're afraid, it holds them back. So they never really, and they're not willing. I mean, listen, I ran a gym. I had plenty of fitness members come over to the barbell side and be like, I love this, and maintain their one day a week cardio, whatever it was, their boxing class, or they loved the instructor and they had fun with their friends going together. Great. But you have to decide what your priorities are. When you're young, you know, this kind of foresight is wasted on you. But if you can invest in your health and you can build strong bones and muscles and make sure that your joints are stable and the structures around your joints are strong, make sure that you're optimizing your health, and then go and do what you want with it. When you don't need it, you don't value it. And so your number one thing is, how do I look good in jeans, or do I look great in my skirt, or do I have abs, or am I skinny enough? Enough meaning what my friends think of me, what the culture thinks of me, what's being perceived in social media. Guess what? That's going to go away. If you're young, turn off this podcast. I'm not talking to you, because you're just too young and stupid to appreciate it. But if you're getting to be towards middle age, you know damn well what's happening to your body. Depriving yourself and doing too much cardio is just going to make the rest of your body sag and make you look like you're running a marathon once a freaking day, and you look terrible. You know you're falling apart. You're going to lose your period. You're going to get older. Your body's going to sag. You're going to get wrinkles. Now, do you want to keep your shit together by staying strong and keeping your muscle mass there and be more disciplined about your nutrition so that you look fit? Or are you just going to be afraid of it the rest of your life and keep behaving as if you were young, and then fooling yourself into thinking you look great when you look like shit and you need a good meal and some sleep and you need to put on a little bit of strength? You know, I'm so bored of it. And the fact that these people are giving you shit just shows me and reinforces the idea that this is all projection and this is all fear-based and you haven't even tried it. And those who are doing it and are blaming the barbell for being fat, you sound stupid. It's obviously about nutrition.
Right. If you want to look good in barbell train, it's pretty easy and pretty quick.
Damn easy. Open the starting strength book. Rip has written out a simple menu for the overweight trainee and the underweight trainee. Okay. Go follow the menu. Figure it out. I don't even want to go into
it. I think
the nutrition.
I missed that chapter.
Yeah, I'll
the
show
diet
it to you.
Chapter. Mm-hmm.
But you know, the fact that you're getting so much slack shows me two things. One, the perception of the female, what the female ideal female body is, has not yet changed. I've been fighting uphill against it for decades. And two, people are too afraid to try something new. Otherwise, they wouldn't be mad. They'd be like, good for you, Raina. Glad you found something you love.
Right.
Wonderful.
Cool.
We don't bother fitness buffs that are overexercising until they come to me and they say, I can't run anymore. My feet hurt. I can't run anymore. My knees hurt. I can't do my favorite class anymore. I hurt my back. What do I do? You know what you need to do. You know, your fitness is basically your sport.
Right.
You don't train for your sport by doing your sport, right? You lift in the weight room. You get strong. You eat. You recover in off season. And then when you're in your sport, you go into maintenance mode, and your sport is your main stress that you need to recover from. And that applies to fitness classes. So I think that all the slack you're getting, everyone should just turn that, you know, turn themselves back around and just be like, let me ask myself a question. Why does it bother me that Raina put on 5 to 10 pounds and looks freaking hot? If I put on 5 to 10 pounds, I'm speaking as them, I would be a slob. Yes, you would. Because some of her weight is muscle.
Right. Like, we met somebody that said like, oh yeah, I'm now 140 pounds. And I was like, oh,
whoa,
shit.
Yeah, that's right.
How do you and I weigh the same?
I'm 148.
God bless that mask. I've never been happier to wear a mask, because my face, it would have shown my shock.
That's right. So I'm 148 right now. I go up and down.
You're like, what size are you?
I look half her size, between 6 and 8.
Right. That's nothing.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I carry my fat on my belly. I wish I carried it on my butt, but you know, whatever it is, for me, it's easy. But when you see someone who doesn't lift and they're the same weight as the person who does, the fat is distributed differently. The muscle mass or lack of is looks differently on the body. And I think that the people who are giving you shit are people who need to look at themselves and say, why am I so disturbed about her not needing fitness? Why am I so afraid to try the thing she's doing? And I guess that brings us to the point of, you know, where do they start?
Right. So let's say a regular person right now who's living places where no gyms are available. Mm-hmm. How do you starting strength?
Yeah. So that's, you know, that is the most difficult scenario has been for my clients and our apprentices from Starting Strength gyms to get enough equipment to train themselves and their clients. And they just do.
Okay.
Okay. They save up money. They order barbells. Things are all in stock again. We order from Strength Co. and Rogue, X Training, and they save up money and they get their barbells. Some people have just started without a squat rack and they'll have a barbell and they'll start deadlifting. And they'll get a coach online, a starting strength coach online, or they'll attend a seminar or a camp. But let's start even simpler. Why don't you get the Starting Strength book and start reading it? Why don't you go onto their website and start reading the About Us and open-mindedly listen and watch and learn, and then find some way to start applying the squat, press, and deadlift and bench press in your life. And if you like it, add on to your set. Or maybe you should go to a gym. Gyms are open. Maybe you should see a Starting Strength coach in person. Maybe you should attend a camp. So the bottom line is that there's enough material out there and there's enough equipment for you to try what's worked for me and Raina and now thousands and thousands and thousands of women all over this world who are embracing strength. And I'm glad it's come back around, because this is not a time to be frail. Definitely not.
No, I have a friend, same age as me. She got COVID, coughed herself so hard, broke 3 ribs.
Oof.
Yeah. I do not want that to be me.
Yeah, no,
I'll take my 15-pound weight gain over broken ribs any day.
You're significantly healthier looking than you've ever been. And I think what bothers people is that they're afraid to do what you're doing because they have preconceived notions of what it might make them look like, and they're stuck. And I think that for you, everything has changed. I don't straight talk you anymore.
That is true. That is really, really true. I don't get the daily straight talk.
Nope. You're doing a good job taking care of yourself now. And so I think that you'll never go back to that time. Now, right now, me and Raina sometimes look at pictures and we're like, holy cow, why do we look that way? I mean,
right. You know, it was like, I think I was at the epitome of unwellness. Mm-hmm. I represented unwellness thinking I represented wellness.
Yeah.
That's sick.
It was judged in the mirror.
Right.
And how hard you can go in class while talking.
Right.
You know? And you cared about your members and you wanted them to have a good experience. But man, Raina, lots of times I remember people hurting your feelings just as much as they were complimenting you.
Oh, sure. People were vicious. Mm-hmm. People were vicious.
It's that projection. It's they're never happy with themselves. And so they're going to be obnoxious to you because they feel like you're responsible for their appearance or their fitness. Did you make me burn enough calories today?
Right. Yeah. Did I sweat enough?
Yeah. And what did you used to say to me?
Right. I don't know what to do.
They don't move.
Right. Help me. Mm-hmm. How can I make the class better?
They can't do what they want to do.
Right. They can't do it. Like a jumping jack, which is something that's like really simple. You can't simplify an exercise more. They couldn't raise their hands over their head.
They have no range of motion. Yeah.
Or when they used to dance, they used to say they can't reach.
They can't reach. They can't do large movements like you could. Because
right. I couldn't understand. I'm like, why can't they just like, woo, but with your hands up.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I would point out to my yogis and to my fitness people is that, you know, if they would come to me and say, I'm not flexible. And I would say, you'd have to barbell train. And they'd say, Ina, is everything the answer? Barbell training? Okay, yeah. But
right.
Second of all, we do What we do is, it's okay. What we do is we do full range of motion exercises under load. And so flexibility is a byproduct of strength. So when you load the barbell and you go through full range of motion exercises that you do every day anyway, then you become flexible enough. You don't want to be hyper flexible. You don't want to shift things out of place like you might in, you know, these yoga and Pilates classes where they force you to overdo the movements that are not natural. And what we're looking for is to strengthen the structures around your joints so that you're not hyperflexible and then having things pop out of position and getting hurt. And so the clients weren't flexible enough because they weren't strong enough because they didn't do things that were full range of motion. They would do their push-ups halfway because they weren't strong enough to go the full way, and they would make their shoulders tight. And so it was just this whole mess of, you don't have the basics, you don't have the foundation, you know, you don't have the strength you need to do these movements and benefit in the conditioning class. And so you're not performing well in class. And it's really hard to work off calories, you know, day in, day out. It's just a vicious cycle. And people who achieve their goal of being waif, what it means is that they've become frail. And you're too young to look frail.
Who wants to be frail? It's really ugly. And no one realizes it. All they see is like a size zero or a number on the scale. Mm-hmm. But really, when you look yourself, if you really look at yourself, mm-hmm. it is ugly.
Yes. Yes, it's true.
It's not pretty. It's not even feminine.
And you didn't even know it until you look back now.
That is right. I didn't even know it. I was part of a group of people that I said I would never be a part of.
Mm-hmm. And listen, a lot of this had to do with your job, because yes. you're also very good at doing your job, and you would not do it halfway. And you worked very hard, but it was at the cost of yourself. And we both went through this. But for the people who are following us on Instagram and following Iron Moms, thank you. We're here for you. So if you're curious about, you know, fixing, how to fix your health, how to fix your fitness, how to fix yourself and become stronger, and you don't know where to start, just reach out to us in direct messages and Instagram, and I promise you, we will get back to you. But there's enough content out there on startingstrength.com to help you get started. And if you read with an open mind and your goal is to become your fittest self, your healthiest self, if you really do want to enjoy your workouts for the rest of your life without hurting yourself, you have to invest in a foundation of strength. And becoming stronger for men and for women is meeting their full genetic potential. You want to be the strongest self, which automatically means that everything else will fall into place. Everything on you will be the way it was designed to its maximum potential. You won't be weak. You'll have definition. You'll have health. You'll be protecting yourself. When you protect your strength training, that means you're treating yourself like a freaking princess. I mean, really, it's like I eat, I sleep. Oh no, I'm not doing that. I don't want to get hurt. I have to lift tomorrow. I mean, hey, you know, it was made for you.
I think it was made for everybody. Mm-hmm. Like my favorite thing on Starting Strength is not the young athletes. I specifically love the older athletes. It makes me feel good.
That's right.
It makes me be like, hey, when I'm 87, I'm not going to be in a wheelchair.
The hell
no. I'm going to be going to a barbell gym. I'm going to have my knapsack. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have my shoes. And when I walk in there, everyone's going to bow down to me. And I like it.
Listen, there's plenty of older lifters who are way stronger than me. And, it always keeps me in check, and I'm like, all right, I better get my ass in gear.
I know there's one guy who's 97.
Oh God, it's crazy.
And like, he's really good shape, 97.
Well, starting strength.
I need to get my shit together.
Yeah. The gyms are going to be releasing more testimonials from their members. And I love seeing the older women talk about hip replacement and how much they're deadlifting now. And so stay tuned for that. But if you're interested in getting started, if you want to protect your fitness and do the things you love for the rest of your life, and if you want to have more time in your week to have a hobby or do other things instead of work out 4 hours a day, right. Ask me about lifting, because we're both here for you. And, you know, you can take Raina's advice as someone who is a cardio bunny, that it's well worth your while to invest into.
Yeah, just try it. I think that's the first step. Just try it. I think you will be pleasantly surprised, mm-hmm. as I was.
People always ask me, is it really truly for everyone? It's really truly for everyone physically. However, emotionally, you might not be disciplined enough, courageous enough, open-minded enough to take this sport on. And that's been my experience of why people have not taken to barbell training or have quit. Maybe their priorities are set in the wrong place. And so it's like with any other skill you're learning, whether you're learning to play classical piano, right? You're going to have to invest in learning about it and music theory, and you're going to have to build a foundation of basics and build on top of that. And this is no different than learning how to do a new skill. And that's what we love about it, because we're always learning. We're always engaged in moving forward. There's always progress. We're discovering things about ourselves, about the sport of barbell training itself. And it's always keeping us, you know, stimulated and growing, and gives me a lot of free time to do other things I love. And you guys can bet that you will see me and Reina kickboxing and dancing as soon as we don't have to deal with masks.
Right. It's not either or. I think that's the most important part for people. It's not one or the other. It can be everything, but in the right place at the right time. Like I was just asking yesterday, I want to push the prowler because I think it's fun. Mm-hmm. Your answer to me was, you don't have time and your deadlift's not high enough. Come back to me when you're deadlifting 250.
Actually, my first response, you're going to be sorry that you said that.
I'm always sorry when I say anything.
Yeah, she's like, it's really nice outside. Should we push the prowler or something? I'm like, you're going to be really sorry that you said that.
And they have a long driveway.
So ladies, you know, first of all, be nicer to each other. Don't use social media to shit on each other because you're hiding behind a screen. Well, why don't you ask us questions, ask Reina why she's doing what she's doing, and be open-minded, try it. But otherwise, keep your opinions to yourself if you're going to be rude.
You know what? Sometimes I don't mind a little hate. It's kind of fun.
I know you like it.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it.
All right. Well, we're there. We're on the other end. So if you want to chat with us, just hit us up in the DMs and we will cover your topics, answer your questions, and do our best to represent strong moms everywhere.
That's right. Good to hear from you guys. Till next time.
Thanks for joining us in the Straight Talk with Ina. You can find us on ironmomsusa.com or Instagram, ironmomsusa. Bye now.